Now they're awake, all right? Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 13 as you go there today. I'm going to teach you a Bible verse, and Lord willing, we get to the end of the thought today. I want you to be making a decision and a choice to do the right thing in the right way on the right day. God's going to give you opportunities. Tomorrow, one of my best friend in the world, Dr. Mike Edwards, is going to come here and preach. And he's on the board of trustees. We've known each other when we had hair. And he's been a mentor, and we've been kind of raised together. He's just been a blessing to me. And I heard him say something 25 years ago in a college chapel. If the heart's right, you'll do right when the opportunity comes up to serve him right. Jesus is preaching back in the book of Luke chapter 17. You don't need to turn there. And I'm going to teach you a Bible verse this morning. The second shortest verse in the Bible. And it's this thought. And it's a sermon. Jesus said to the group of people, when it come to the time of decision for salvation, service, and sanctification, he said, I want you to do this for me. Remember Lot's wife. Would you say that with me? Why would he say such a thing? It's about decision making in life. And Lot's wife made a decision, and you know the story. She turned into a pillar of salt. Now, we got a lot of young people here today, and how many remember your mom and dad's putting the rules down on you? You know, some of you had rules before you come to Ambassador, amen? Of course, some of you didn't. You wonder what, you didn't have a spell the thing, amen? But my dad had a rule that we used to obey him. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, all right? And it's the first commandment with a promise. You're going to live longer, amen? Well, we lived on the farm, and my twin brother and I, there was two of us at one time. We'd get in a lot of trouble. And on Sunday night, after church, we got home, and it was the first time I'd ever seen the show Bonanza. It was in black and white. How many's ever seen Bonanza in here? All right. Little Hoss, or is that Big Joe? I don't know. But anyway, they had a rodeo. The next day, my dad was going to go to work, and the week before, my twin brother and I had gotten some trouble, and he said, now, when I'm gone, you obey your mom and dad. I obey your mom and aunts. Yes, sir. He said, you stay out of the cornfield. And we raised tobacco back in those days. I'm sorry. Stay out of the tobacco field, and you stay away from the bulls, and stay out of the chicken house. And by all means, don't go by the pig pen. Now, we was all of 8 years of age at that time, and we understood all that. No meant no. But when daddy's not around, what daddy doesn't know doesn't hurt daddy. Amen. So he went to work, and about 10 o'clock, my twin brother and I got bored. And we made our way to the pig pen. And we had three or four old sows. Now, you kids that eat at McDonald's, a sow is a female pig. That's where the sausage came from this morning we had for breakfast, okay? Don't want to hurt your feelings, but that's where it comes from. Well, we had two or three old sows there and a bunch of little pigs, and we got the idea that we're going to go pig riding. Dad's not there. Mom's not around. Here's the aunts. And we got on top of the pig pen lean-to. And the lean-to is about half the size of this place up here, and the pig pen's about the same size. And so we got on top of that roof, and we drew straws, and I got to go first. And I'm going to jump off the roof on top of about a 400, 500-pound sow, going to grab her by the ears, and my twin brother's on top of the roof. One, two! Whoever got to seven and hung on after that was the champ. I mean, we're ready to roll. How many's ever seen a rodeo? And boy, I'm telling you, I jumped off that roof. That big old fat sow just kind of sitting there. I got on the front of her shoulders and got her ears, and she started squalling. They just walked around in circles. We thought we was having a good time. My twins, one, two! He got this about six. And this cloud came over the pig pen, like somebody shut the sun off. And we looked up. I'm on this pig. My twin looked up. We did not understand or know the fact why Dad told us to stay out of the pig pen. There was two giant hornet's nests under the roof. Oh, my. Hornets are like wasps on steroids. I saw those. My twin brother saw those. And I got my little fat body off that pig and went over the fence. And I'm running down the field fast as I can go. And the bees come and attack my brother. One got me here on the ear, one got me on the nose, been permanently swollen now about 58 years. I dove in the cow watering trough to get away from the bees, and I come up for air. Here come my twin brother walking down trying to get to the house. His head at this point looked like a volleyball. He'd been stung so many times. By the time he got to the kitchen, about another 50 yards, he collapsed and in the house, and it looked like a basketball with eyeballs. My mom threw him in the car, and we rushed to the doctor, and man, I'm hurting all over, but not like him. We get to Dr. Gillespie. He's the only doctor in the county, and he was a two-way doctor. Y'all know what a two-way doctor is? He did animals and humans. Sometimes I thought he put some animal medicine in us. But anyway, we got in there. My mom drug my twin brother in. My aunt's carrying him, laying down there on the gurney. And my mom goes, "He's going to die. He's going to die." "No, he'll be all right." And he gave him a shot of something. And he's laying there. And my mom had called Dad. Now, my dad was 5'2" and weighed 220. He looked like a fire hydrant. He wasn't fat. He was just a ball of muscle. And his neck was like, whoa. And when my dad would get mad, he would do this with his eyes. He'd come rushing in that doctor's office from work. "What's wrong? What's wrong, Margaret?" That was mom. "Sam's about dead. The bees got..." He did what? "Oh, okay, the bees." He looked at me. He said, "Did you guys go to the pig pen?" Sam's 7 minutes older. I asked him. We got in the car. Long story short, we're driving back home. 1948 Ford. We're sitting in the back. My twin's laying on the seat. My head's throbbing. I look in the mirror, and Dad's really beginning to pop the veins, popping his eyes, doing this with his neck. My mama reached over with her left arm and touched his shoulder and said, "Cletus, not today." I had no idea what today meant. But boy, I did the next day. Oh! The swelling came down, then the swelling came up. Saw you kids singing the song, "Love Lifted Me." Yeah, my dad's love lifted us that next day. Well, boy. And when he was done lifting us, he said, "You boys had better listen to this." And we're like this. Radar. Our heads were hurting yesterday, and then our backsides are hurting today. And he said, "Don't you ever forget this. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And if it's not right, it's wrong. And the next time you want to do what's wrong, just remember the bees. Do you boys understand me?" "Yes, sir, we do." How many's ever had problems like that in your own personal life? You made a mess of things. Lot had made a mess of things. God had blessed Lot and Abraham in chapter 13 in Genesis. That's where you're at. And Lot had to make a choice. And he made that choice. And then we text I read you this morning. It said, remember Lot's wife. Why would Jesus say such a thing to remind us of what is really going on here? What had happened? God had blessed Abraham and God had blessed Lot. And Lot was Abraham's nephew. And understand in chapter 13, verse 4, chapter 13, verse 8, you'll see that Abraham always had an altar. Lot never had one. Abraham talked and walked with God. Lot did not. Yet they both were righteous men. I want you to understand something here. I'm going to give you a 5-point outline today, and each point starts with a D. And I'm preaching to not only the staff, and I'm not preaching only to pastors. I'm preaching to college students, future missionaries, and future preachers, and pastors' wives. And I want you to understand something, and Christian school teachers, the devil does not like what you're about to get into. He doesn't want you to be into this. Listen to me on this thought. Listen to this thought. There's a choice to do right, and there's a choice to do wrong. When that choice comes in your life, holiday season's coming, the Christmas holidays are coming, other things are coming in your life, everybody has decisions, you had better remember Lot's wife when you make that choice. All God's people said? Here's the first thought. Number one, we'll go through it. Lot made a decision. Look at verse 13, chapter 13, verse 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the herdmen of Lot's cattle, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, dwelled there in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Thou shalt take the left hand, and I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And the Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Number one, Lot was going to make a decision. Now, I mentioned in verse 4, I'm not going to read it, but Abraham had built an altar, been talking with God. Abraham was going to do it God's will, according to God's word, in God's way. Amen? And let me come over here and give you a little acronym. L-O-R-D, what does that spell? What's that spell? Okay. Listen, obey, respond, and do. There's the message. Keep that in your thought process. No, Abraham said, now Lot, if you want to go over here, you go there. If you want to go over here, you go there. If you want to share half of that with me, so be it. You go left, I'll go right, you go left, whatever. What do you say, nephew? And I've been praying about it. Now what do you want to do? And the Bible says this, he made a decision. And that decision, he did not have God in it at all. Look what it says in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar, and Lot chose him all. He made a decision. And my friend, every time, and this is where my first thought will start, you make a decision, it will affect you. It'll affect you spiritually. It'll affect you, your future. Be very careful, college students, about going at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. Be very careful, my friend, association with the wrong people. They're going to take you in the wrong way. I just want to encourage you. There's a bright future setting in front of me. God's got lands for you to possess. God's got ministries for you to get into. But if you're not careful, you'll make a decision here. That'll start taking you number two. Into the wrong direction. That's my second thought. Let's look at the direction here. I want you to catch this with me. Lot's direction. Verse 10 says this, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw all that green grass, and it's like dollar signs going across his eyeballs. Amen. And I mean, he was money, money, money. And he said, and then Lot in verse 11 said he's chosen all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and that, watch it now, they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities in the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, he made a decision. Now, watch this. Earlier, Abraham pitches up an altar in verse 4. He pitches up another altar in verse 18. Lot never pitches an altar. He's pitching up his tent. And when he pitches his tent, secondly, he made a decision that took him in a direction. I want you to understand in this direction, if you want to know what's good, bad, or indifferent, look what God adds in verse 13. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Hey, that's not a good direction. Amen? I want to encourage you this morning on this thought. We need to always pitch every decision that we have, every altar we want to build, needs to be built on the word of what? God. When I was got saved, I did not have a mentor. Got saved at a Christian camp. And then I went off to Bible college a year later. And in making that decision, I had some temptations come up in my life. I mean, at 5'7", it's a hard time for a short guy like me to get a date, amen. But she was the prettiest girl at that school, and I liked her. And when I got saved, I mean, she liked me. I mean, I was the class vice president. She was ahead of the cheerleaders and the band, and we were, I'm going to go to Ohio State University, not Michigan, but I got saved. And she dropped me like last week's roadkill. She said, you're going to do what? I'm going to go to Bible college and train for the ministry. And she said, I'm not going to have anything to do with you then. Whoa, wait a minute, girl. 5'2", eyes are blue, coochie coo. Hey, come on back up here. She said, if you're not going to work in the coal mine, if you're not going to go to Ohio State University, and you're not going to make some money, I am not going to date you another day. Man, that hurt, guys. How many of you guys ever been dumped in here? All of you. Okay, that's what I thought. That hurt. And man, I felt bad. And the devil crawls up there beside you. Hey, see, you're making the wrong decision. You're going in the wrong direction. You're not going to make it to Bible college anyway. Can you imagine you taking kinesiology and zoology and biology? You can't even spell any of those words, let alone take them. You'll fail out there all by yourself. You'll never make it. Why don't you go over here and just be like that Lot and make a choice according to your flesh, according to what your eyes see? Why don't you do that? The devil's real, is he not? You listen carefully to me this morning, and he's got a target on your back if you want to do anything for God. The Bible says here that Lot made a decision that took him into direction away from the spiritual man Abraham, away from the altars of Abraham, toward the wicked city. And you know where that got him? Right where he wanted to be. And for a while, everything was all right. Now, I'm telling you what, folks, every time you make a decision, it'll show what, number three, what you're devoted to. Number three, what you're devoted to. I saw a girl here this morning carrying a blueberry Pop-Tart to class. Where is she? She's right there. That's you. Stand up. I caught it, didn't I? It's not you. It's the Pop-Tarts I'm after. I love Pop-Tarts. Have a seat. I went on a diet about 3 years ago. All right, I'll be honest. 23 years ago. It's not my weight. It's my height's the problem. Now, my sister Kay is 4'9", and she's about big as Delaware any way you want to roll her. She's 8. She loves the Lord. We're friends. I mean, I stay with her. She has a guest room just for me. She knew I was on a diet, and she knew I had a weakness. I don't like chocolate-covered Pop-Tarts. I don't like strawberry Pop-Tarts. I love blueberry Pop-Tarts. She knew I was on this diet, and I'd lost a couple pounds, and I go walking every day. And so I have this 5-mile trail. I'm walking down this country road in southeastern Ohio. So I'm walking along like a little, hamster on a wheel. I saw you and your wife walking the other day. Looked like two hamsters going down the road. And that was cold. Was that cold out there? Well, it was. And in the ditch was a shiny little package with blueberry Pop-Tarts in it. Could this be God blessing me? I picked that up, put it in my pocket, went about another mile, and there's another one. Ooh. Then I went halfway out and come back, and on the way back there, I found 3 more. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. No one will ever know. But in my mind, I knew it was my sister. I come home, I come in the house, and take my pockets and taking my coat off, and she's got her back to her. Hey, Dan, how was your walk? Oh, it was a great walk. Did you lose any weight? Yeah. She goes, well, how was the walk? It was tempting. The devil was tempting me. The devil's witch was tempting me. And she goes, what do you mean? And I held up this, all these 5 Pop-Tarts. She goes, gotcha. We're having fun as a brother and sister. The devil never has fun with you. He'll get you to make the wrong decision that gets you going towards the wrong destination. And he will expose what you're devoted to every time. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, he shall reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. And he that shall sow to the Spirit shall reap what? Life everlasting. You better be careful with the decisions you make, because it always leads into a direction that shows what you're devoted to. And the next thought is this. That devotion will always lead to the wrong destination. Let me stop with the devotion for just a moment. Go to Genesis chapter 19. Lot has been in Sodom and Gomorrah for some time. And he'd been taken away in chapter 14 by a bunch of terrorists. And Abraham went and got him. And he'd lost everything he had. And Abraham got him back. You'd think Lot would get right with God and move out from Abraham, but he did not. He was devoted to that money. He was devoted to that city. He was devoted to that prestige. And then in chapter 19 and verse 1, when the angels show up, when the judgment is starting, I want you to remember Lot's wife on this. The Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. There he is, being the big kahuna, one of the big magistrates, one of the big leaders of the city. Yet he's not one of the Sodomites. He's a man from somewhere else, but he's wanting to be in the lead. He's wanting to be in the prestige. And his devotion is, hey, he wanted to have acceptance inside that city. He not only wanted the money, he wanted to set in the gate. He wanted man's approval. And he was more dedicated to that city than he was for the cause of God. Now you think about this. He's minding his own business, and the terrorists come in there and just take everybody out and go and take them into slavery. They took every Lot's hog, dog, frog, and credit card. Took his bank account. Took his I'll bring it into your terminology. Took all his smartphones and took everything and just going to go to another country and sell them into slavery. Never come back. One broke away and went to Abraham. Abraham got his green berets together. Amen. Whipped a fire out of them, brought them all back. They got everything back. Abraham said, I don't want paid for this. This is family. I got him back where God wants him. Now, listen, priest and mayor, you can go ahead and give these boys need some food and give them some spoil. I don't want anything from this bunch. I did it because that's my nephew. Wouldn't you think that nephew, Lot, at that point would say, you know what? I'm not moving back and I've learned my lesson. I'm going to stay out of Sodom. But he didn't learn it. What he was devoted to kept exposing him over and over and over. I personally believe God meant him to go there, and Abraham to go to that area to get those people to have a good missions ministry going on, get a good church started. I'm going to show that to you at the end of the message. So he made a decision that took him in a direction that showed what he was devoted to, and it led to a destination that leaves, wow, a bad taste. You ever had a bad taste left in your mouth? You know, last night I stopped on the way up to your church, preacher. Right down the foot of the hills, a little Mexican kind of. I went in there and bought me a Debbie cake, two of them. I like those chocolate ones, not like a blueberry Pop-Tart. But they had a Christmas one on sale. So I bought a 50-cent Christmas cake from Debbie Cakes. On the way home last night, I bit into that thing. And I was expecting a nice, white, creamy taste. It was full of something like a strawberry pudding. And it had warmed up in my car. Oh, about halfway here, I bit into that thing. Not what I expected. I fed that to the squirrels when I got back last night. I want you to listen to this thought. What you're devoted to, you cannot hide. It'll expose you every time. You're built that way. Let me give you a test. I want everybody to cross their arms. Some of you have been through this with crossing. I know what he is. Got him crossed? Amen. Now cross him the other way and tell me that's natural. Not natural, is it? No. No. Well, I never knew that's body language, okay? When I preach and people lean forward like this, they're listening. Ones are like this. Looking down at their iPads while I'm preaching, that's another body language, amen? How many understand in this situation, how many can pick out that Lot's got some struggles going on? Now comes the judgment. This is called, I call it the display. Lot, nobody's right with God here. Uncle Abraham's been calling out. God's going to destroy it. God sent us. We have to leave right now. And Lot said, well, I really don't want to go. Well, here's the destination you're at, Lot. You can find 10 righteous people. He says, I'm going to run out and see my son-in-laws. I'm going to go out and see my neighbors. I'm sure we're going to find 10 righteous people. Let's pick up the story, chapter 19. Let's look at verse 14. The Bible says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy it. But he seemed as one that was what? Mocked unto his son-in-laws. They made fun of him. They shamed him. He had no respect left in his family. He had no friends in that city. There's no morals left in that family. Boy, did he ever go to the wrong destination. Amen. Can I fast forward a little bit just to bring you out how bad it got? He tried to give his own daughters away to those sodomites. Let me go a little bit further down the trail in the cave of Zoar. Both got their daddy drunk. Both had an immoral relationship with their daddy. Both had babies to him. And that's where we get the Moabite nation today, which in the book of Psalms is called God's washpot. That's always been a thorn in the side of God's Jewish people. And I want to tell you, it started right there because Lot made a choice over here. He made a decision that took him in a direction, exposed what he was devoted to, and it led to a destination of shame and debauchery and sin. And then Jesus says, none of that. When he brings you and I to the choice of salvation, service, and sanctification, he said, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. Why? Well, she looked back. Oh, it's deeper than that. She wanted to look back. She wanted to manipulate God's will for her life. She thought she could get by with it because she had gotten by with it for so many times. Yeah? Remember the bees? How that worked out for me, huh? Now, how does this work out for her? How did it work out for Samson? Watch what it says here. The Bible says in verse 24 and verse 25 of chapter 19, I want you to catch this. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities of all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, all which grew up on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a what? Pillar of salt. Now you remember this. What goes around comes around. You remember this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. If he's spoken to your heart, he wants you to be and wants you to do something. Can I encourage you? Quit playing games with the devil and make a decision like Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach did. Make that decision that no matter what's going to come, I'm going to stand true like Joseph of Egypt. I'm going to do what's right before the Lord because God has something for me to do. Amen? See, God doesn't have you here by mistake. He's working in you. And he wants to work on you because at some point, watch me now, he wants to work through you. And you'll never get to that through me place. Do you make a decision today? You make a decision now. Maybe some of you have. That before God, you're going to, hey, think about and remember Lot's wife. The angels are pulling them out. I can see Lot in one hand and I can see her in the other hand. And the other angels got the two girls coming out. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. Nobody's looking back. But they had to pull him out. Man, this guy was weak on so many levels. But he's just like us. Because I'm going to show you in a minute what God thought of him after all was done and said. As he's pulling out, he's not looking back. And then all of a sudden, she looks back, longing and wanting, thinking she could get by. And the God of grace will let this thing go. She turns to a pillar of salt there on the edge of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Today, nothing still grows there. And for several years after she turned to a pillar of salt, she kind of stood there when people would travel that way. Who's that statue of? Oh, that's Lot's wife. What's she there for? As a memorial of people that make the wrong choice, that live the wrong way, that go the wrong way, that do the wrong thing when they know it's wrong, and they do it anyway. We never get her name, amen? But we get her husband's name because he's the one that made the decision and she went along with it. I could preach a whole message on collateral damage when you start making the wrong decisions. Husbands, when you make the wrong decision, it affects your wife and your children. Amen. I'm dealing with a situation now with a missionary. 20 years on the mission field. Threw it all away last week. That's why I'm going home to Friday to meet with them in the afternoon and their pastor. Try to counsel to keep their marriage. 20 years serving the Lord on a foreign field. One indiscretion. No. No, it started over here when he made a decision. That took him in a direction. And he has damaged his wife. He has bruised that relationship. He has bruised his children. He's bruised the ministry. And he's done a great cause. And the devil's over here going, whoa, boy. Defeated that work, didn't I? You don't want to have that in your life, do you? Amen? But here's the last thought. She was on display. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife? Because now the wind and time and antiquity has blown her away. The statue is no longer there. But when it comes time to you making that decision, will you please, please, Jesus is preaching, remember Lot's wife. It's a solemn thought, is it not? I just want to encourage you. I see a lot of pastors here. I see a lot of missionaries. A lot of missionaries, wives, and pastors. If you haven't caught it, I like young people. I like folks that want to serve the Lord. I like old people. But the older I get, you know, the crankier old people get. So I kind of like being around young people. Amen. Not too young. I've got a 5-year-old grandson. That's about as far as it goes. I just want you to understand with me. I want the best for you. So I needed to preach this message that God put on my heart because I want you to remember Lot's wife when that time comes. When there's blueberry tarts in the ditch. When that sin that so easily besets you. When that frustration and that fear. You freshmen, I know what you're going through. You're different than the juniors and seniors here. You're a little bit lost this year. You're trying to find yourself. First time you're out on your own. You juniors and seniors are a little different kettle of fish. You're getting ready to move on into ministry. You still have that anxiety because you don't know the future. Just trust God with it. You build a couple of altars like Abraham, you'll not make the mistakes that Lot did. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and I'll close. You know, Jesus tells us to remember Lot's wife. I think Peter may have been there. Because Peter tells us in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, verse 5, He spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example for those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot. He's just. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That's the lifestyle. He put up with it. He made a decision. It took him in a direction. He led to a destination. He pitched his tent that way. Then he moved into town. Even after he was taken out once and brought back. The Bible says here, for that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed, that means bothered, made his heart hot. His righteousness sold from day to day with her unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the, watch this, the godly out of temptation. But Lot would not let him. Lot would not let God get him out of there. Lot made a decision that took him in a direction that led to that destination that exposed what he was devoted to. And it's on display for us to see. We need to get right. We need to stay right. And we need to do right. That's really thick theology, isn't it? And when in doing that, we need to listen to the Lord, obey what God wants us to do through His Word, His way, His will, and respond to it, and just do it. You'll be surprised how God blesses. You'll be amazed. As you close your Bibles, 10 years went by since the pig pen incident. I'd been saved a year and a half. My twin got saved the same night by another counselor. Hal Webb and Thurman Babcock were preaching. You remember them? And Hal Webb preached the message, "The Russians are coming! The Russians are coming!" We thought they were back in 1969. They was going to drop a bomb on us. Man, he had a camp about big as this here, about 250 senior high kids, and we were scared to death. Man, that night, I didn't get saved. I went home to the cabin and kind of hid in my third bunk on top and trying to get rid of the conviction. And God sent a storm that night that almost blew the roof off that little cabin. And I got up at 11:30, ran across the driveway, popped from here back to the camera, and went into the dining common. An old man that had paid my way to camp, Jim Beaver, he was like 45. I thought he was old. He led me to Christ that night. He'd paid my way to camp for 7 years. I was 16 and a half years old. I never saw that man again after that senior year. I found him last year in a nursing home in Marietta, Ohio. About half blind, can't walk, looked at me. I just grabbed his hand and cried. Because he made a decision that took me in a direction that's got me here today. He can't preach, he can't teach, but he prayed that he could make a difference in my life. You better remember the bees. I got saved that summer. My twin did. Next summer we graduated. I'm going off to Bob Jones University. And my twin quit coming home at night to about 1 or 2 in the morning. He got liking this little girl. And honestly, she was worthless as teeth on a chicken. Amen. She was bad on every level. But that's his life, not mine. And I'm going to be 19. And he wouldn't listen to me. And my mom was a prayer warrior. She said, "Where's your brother?" "Well, he's over here." "Well," she goes, "when are you going to Bob Jones?" "I'm going tomorrow." "Well, you're not going to go without your brother." "What? I've been trying to get rid of him for 18 years. And she said, "No, he's in sin. You know it and I know it." "Yes, yes, Mom." "Well, you go get him out of that house and you throw him in that car. And you go straight there, okay? You come home and you go, okay." Now, I'd never had any courses in how to handle people and never been to Bible college or any psychological classes yet. And so I get in that 63 Chevy with Cam Hayes, who's a pastor in Ohio today. He went to Bob Jones with us. And So Dan, Sam, and Cam, we end up going, but we go over there to get him, and Cam says, "What's up?" I said, "I want you to drive to this house," and he did. It was a quarter mile long driveway, gravel. I said, "Back up it." So he backed a quarter of a mile. He said, "What am I doing this for?" When we get there, you open up all four doors. I'm going to get my twin brother out of there. "How are you going to do that?" "Well, he's saved. He loves the Lord, but I can get his temper up, and he'll start to fight me, and I'll run. He'll run outside. When he does, you tackle him. We'll throw him in the back of the car, and we'll take off down the road." That was my plan. Dumb teenagers. Hey, how many teenagers ever have a dumb plan? Hey, don't feel bad. David's taking on Goliath. Didn't even have a rock in his bag, okay? We all make mistakes. So I go in there, and he backs up that car, and I get out, keep the motor running, and I go in, and I didn't even knock on the door, and I open it up. And that boy, my twin, sitting there on the couch, and she's sitting on the other side of the couch, got his boots off, been working all day, and she's just a bad person. And I called her every bad person in the book. Then I looked at him and said, "Sam, you need to get out and go with me. You need to get right with God. Let's go." He said, "You don't have no way to tell me what to do." "I don't." "Well, let me tell you this. Remember the bees?" Where did that come from? He looked at me and said, "What? Remember the bees? Remember the pig pen? Remember we disobeyed God? You're disobeying God now. You're saved. I'm telling you what, them bees will be nothing compared to how, I mean, get away from this." And she started throwing books at me. And I kept talking, and he started listening, and she went and got a broom in the kitchen and was going to hit me with it, and I took it out of her hand, and I'm arguing with him. I said, "Back up, girl," and I broke that thing over and threw it down. And he said, "You've said enough." Okay. I was backing out of the room. He said, "But wait a minute. I believe you're right." She goes, "No, no, 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 no." Now he's right. He grabbed his boots. Got on that front porch. We didn't have to tackle him. We ran him to the car. She went back in the house. I don't know if she's going to get a gun or call the police, but we took off. We got to our house. Mom had him packed, gave us $100 a piece and said, "Don't look back. Go to Greenville, South Carolina. Dad will make a phone call. An old man named Bob Jones Jr. will greet you at the dining common." And we drove down there. Who's Bob Jones Jr.? We got there. We had blue jean t-shirts on. Blue jeans on, white t-shirts. We hadn't took a bath in 3 days. We show up with him, and this guy comes out, Bob Jones Jr. We don't know who he is. "You boys look pretty rough." "Yeah, we've been driving for 2 days. What's your, Dan, what's it, Sam? Hip Cam? Man, you all rhyme. Are you triplets?" "No, we're twins, and he's just one of us." He says, "Tell me your story." And he knew what it was, but we didn't know. My brother got accepted to school, 2 weeks probation without an application. He graduated in front of me 4 years later. Grade average. Everything average. And he was Dr. Bob's bodyguard for the last two years he was there. Aren't you glad when we're going down that little driveway from that girl, wicked girl's house that his left arm came up over and touched my shoulder in the front seat? He said, "Thanks for remembering the bees." And you bad. Luke 17:32 preached to you today. And when that devil sticks his ugly head up, when that temptation's coming, when you get in the way, you had better remember Lot's wife, but make the right choice. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, I don't know the student body's heart, but you do. I feel that some need to do business with the Lord today, whether it's doing your will for their life, where they just need to make the decision and step out by faith and just do it. They need to listen, obey, respond, and do. And Lord, they need to make the right decisions now that will take them in that direction that you have for them. And their devotion will be exposed, Lord, that it's you they want to love and follow, not the world or the things of the world. And we don't know the destination, but we know Lot's was not any good. But Lord, she was left on display for many years there on that plain of Mamre. And Jesus, preaching many years later, said, "Folks, when you make a decision, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife." Who can say, "Brother DeLong, God spoke to my heart today. I'm making some decisions and I want to do it God's way, according to God's will and according to His word." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Preacher, I got the thing. Put your hands down. I got this problem, this temptation, this sin. I need to get this taken care of. I need to lay it at the altar now. Would you pray for me that I would do that?" Could you raise your hand? I need to do that. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. We're going to stand now to our feet, and I'm going to have Brother Dylan come and lead us in the invitation. So please stand at this time with me as a student body, and Brother Robertson lead the music. Brother Dylan, you come do the invitation.